Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I want to read a couple of verses to you in a series that I'm going to start today called the High Fives of God. Not that God is wanting to give us a high five, although that could be the case. But there are five very distinct, very important requests that God asks and makes of his people. And he makes them very clear here in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And then all throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, these are expounded upon and built upon, and so that the people of God could grasp what God is asking of them and what God is requiring of them. And what God asks of his people back then, he asks of us as well today. And if we can get a handle on these high fives of God, these five demands that God places in a very high regard, then we know that we're walking according to the plan and purposes of God. People may be asking themselves, if there is a God, and if I do believe in God, what does he want from me? What does he require of me? How should I be living my life in light of what God wants from me? And so these passages here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 will help us understand what God's intent and purpose for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 10, I want us to look at verse 12 through 14, and then we'll skip down to verse 20. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Now here's the five. These are the high five requests that God asks and needs and wants from his people. But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Skip down to verse 20. Fear the Lord your God. That's the first high five request, is to fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him, and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now turn to Psalm 33, and we'll look at just a few verses here in Psalm 33, beginning at verse 8. Psalm 33, beginning at verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who formed the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. As you saw this morning, we started this kids' Bible story time with the kids this morning, and we've got great kids in our church. And my prayer is that we'll be a church that just loves on all the kids that God sends us. Amen. And part of why I'm doing this is because we can't immerse our kids enough into God's Word, right? We know that they are being bombarded with all kinds of stories and images and ideas from all over the place, even at a young age. And so it's important for us, for me, that our kids be immersed in the story of God, the grand story of God. And as we talked about this morning, the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No other God did this except Yahweh. And he formed the earth and all the animals, as we talked about, and the fish in the sea and the birds of the air. And then, of course, his greatest handiwork was humanity. And so helping our kids, helping us understand our beginnings is very important. Understanding that we are here for a purpose. From the very beginning, from the very foundations of the earth, we need to understand our beginnings. Because if we understand where we came from, and we understand the purposes for which God brought us here, and we understand why we're here, that gives life a whole new meaning. And it gives us purpose as we make our way through life. So understanding our beginnings are very important. The 4th of July is just a few days away. And about this time of year, I always like to try to read a book about American history. Because I want to grow in my understanding about the beginnings of this nation. We have a fascinating beginning. And we're still a relatively young nation. But it is amazing to me just how many people don't really understand or even appreciate how we got here. There was great sacrifices made to get us to this point. And so we've got to understand our beginnings. When I was in Egypt earlier this year, I was blown away because, you know, that part of the world is called the cradle of civilization. That was the beginning for all of humanity. And so going into the museums and seeing these amazing artifacts only helps me and others better understand our beginnings. So we need to get a grasp and a handle and an appreciation of our beginnings. And as God created the world, he then also formed for himself his own people. Started with Abraham, and through that whole ordeal, Jacob and then Joseph and his brothers and how they ended up into Egypt, and even as we read earlier, there were about 70 from what God began with Abraham that ended up in Egypt, and then they became as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And that was the beginning of the people of God, how they ended up in Egypt, and they grew into this nation, and then of course the Exodus, the great Exodus that we read about, how after 400 years or so of captivity in Egypt, God worked another mighty, wonderful deed. And he delivered his people from the oppression of the Pharaoh. And God raised up Moses, and most of us know the story of how God set his people free. And now as this new nation was being formed, as God's people were being formed, he's reminding them, he's saying, I did all these amazing things for you. I literally brought you out of nothing. And now you are a people. But we've got to set some guidelines down for how to live and how to be. And this covenant relationship between Yahweh God and the people of God. And as the people of God were being formed, he was very intentional to give them direction and instruction. And I think this is applicable for us today because I think in many ways our church is entering a new season. You know, summer just began a few days ago. Many of us are grateful for that. But it's a new season, literally and figuratively. And every time a new season rolls around, I like to kind of take the time and do some self-assessment and say, God, what would you have for me in this new season that we're entering? Not just the summer season, but this season of life. This season of life for our church. And maybe for you personally, you're entering a new or different season for you. Maybe it's a career change. Maybe kids are graduating from one grade to the next and the kids are getting older. Or maybe you're going through some health issues. But as we go through these different seasons in life, it's good to do self-assessment. Where am I at this point in my life? And God, what is it that you would have for me in this new season? And I think that as a church, as I just feel that God is on the verge of doing something amazing through us, that we're entering a new season as a church, that we need to hear the voice of God so that we stay grounded in what it is he requires of his people. And I think these instructions that God gave his people back then are just as applicable for us today to stay grounded and hopeful in the Lord. And the first high five of God that God gives to his people that we read about here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 is this. And now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you but to fear the Lord your God? What does that mean, to fear the Lord your God? Well, the Hebrew word for fear is the word Yahweh. It can mean, for example, to have a literal fear of the Lord. I mean, how many times in the Bible do we read that the people of God maybe encountered the Lord and they were fearful because he is divine? Think of Moses, and you see this bush that's on fire but is not consumed, and a voice speaks to you from the burning bush. That would put me a little bit on edge, right? Or remember the disciples, there were times when they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water and they were afraid. And so there is this element of, I'm encountering a mysterious God who is unlike anything I've ever encountered. There's going to be some fear there. But beyond that, there is this idea of great reverence and awe of who God is. And why is this so important? Well, let me ask you this. Is anything sacred in our culture anymore? And I would venture to say, as you might say, it's becoming harder to find anything that people would think of as sacred anymore because we're losing a sense of the holiness and sacredness of God. Every time we hear of a shooting or a murder or a needless death, my heart grieves because do we not value life anymore? Is life not sacred any longer? And so we need to recapture the sense of this divine reverence of God, and because we're losing the sense of reverence in our culture. But when we go back to Scripture and in our own experience, and as God repeatedly says, there is none like me. I am different. I am distinct. There should be renewed in us a sense of reverence and awe for who God is. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46. And keep your finger in Isaiah, because there's a number of passages in Isaiah that I want to reference briefly this morning. Because Isaiah deals quite a bit with this idea of revering God and having reverence and sacredness and holiness for him that the people of God needed back then, and we certainly need today. But in Isaiah 46, let me read to you verses 1 through 9. And as I read these verses to you, just let the word of God reveal in us again a sense of reverence and sacredness for who God is. He begins by talking about these handmade idols. Bel bows down. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Okay, that's how worthless these idols are. And then God says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Look at verse 5. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Look at verse 9. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. And as God was recounting to his people what he did for them, how he brought them out of nothing, how he formed them and shaped them, he's reminding them, nobody else did this for you except me. So there must be a degree of fear and reverence and awe of who God is. And I think our culture and maybe even our churches are missing some of that. Renee and I are in the process of getting bids to have our house painted. Yeah, we've never had our home painted. We bought our home brand new 20 years ago, and it's time for a coat of paint or two. And so we've had a couple guys come and give us bids, and we're still trying to get bids. So we had one guy come out a couple days ago, nice young man, and he was telling us about this and how he's going to do that and how he's going to do this. And I wasn't thinking 20 years ago. We bought a two-story house, and I'm afraid of heights. If I was thinking straight back then, I would have bought a one-story house so that I could do it myself, right? But you're not going to find me on a ladder, and so that's why we have to get a professional painter. And so, you know, we're asking questions like, you know, do you have the equipment and the ladders you need to get up high? And he goes, oh, yeah, we've got all that. I looked at this young man, and his name's Dustin, and I said, are you afraid of heights? He said, his answer just got me. He said, just enough to keep me safe. What a smart young man. Here's a young man who knows what he's doing and is not cavalier about his job, but has a healthy fear of heights. Because I've known some people in my life who have just carelessly gotten on ladders and fallen and done some serious damage. But he had a healthy fear of what heights can do. And I think that's what we need when it comes to God. We need a healthy fear and reverence for God. Not to take him too lightly, but to hold him in the highest regard, because as Isaiah repeatedly says here, there is no one like me. The other reason we need to have a healthy, reverent fear of the Lord is that he is the one who sustains us and keeps us and upholds us. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Again, the prophet is reiterating to the people of God, we must hold God in the highest regard and have a healthy fear for him. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear. In other words, do not fear the situation, the circumstances that you're in. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So have a healthy fear for God, but don't fear the circumstances that you're in, because God is the one who is with us, and he will sustain you and uphold you and take care of you. Go down to verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So have a healthy, respectful fear of the Lord, but don't fear the circumstances and the situation that you're in, for God is the one who will sustain you and uphold you and protect you. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:16. He says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And get this in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things held together. In other words, God is the sustainer. He holds our lives in his hand. And so we should have a healthy fear and awe and respect for him, for he is the one who upholds us and sustains us. I think we've all been riveted by the news account of this submersible submarine that went looking for the Titanic this last week. And Actually, Wednesday night, someone brought up that we needed to pray for this missing group that went looking for the Titanic, and unfortunately, the reports have come back that they were killed deep in the sea. The wreckage of the Titanic is 13,000 feet below sea level. That's 2.5 miles below the surface. I did the calculations just this morning. If we were to walk from here to Roaring Rapids Pizza in Glenwood, that's 2.3 miles, so about the same distance. So think about that. If we left this building here and started walking towards Roaring Rapids Pizza, and every step that we took, you know, we were descending beneath the ocean, think about the pressure the water just exerts. And with each step, each plummet below the surface, that pressure becomes more and more intense. And finally, it was too much that the capsule that those precious people were in imploded. It was very, very heartbreaking. But here's, I think, what the scriptures are saying. God is the one who will uphold us. God is the one who will protect us. God is the one who is our safety net. God is the one who will guide us through life, however deep life takes us. And so we must have a healthy fear and respect for the one who upholds us and sustains us by his might and by his power. And finally, I think we need to have a healthy fear and respect for the Lord because he will accomplish his purposes. God will do what he says. We need to respect him and have a fear of the Lord for what he says he will do. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 27. This is what the Lord says about accomplishing his purposes. Isaiah 14, 27. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? Who can thwart the purposes of God? If his hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? No one can, because God will do what he purposes to do. If we go back to Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end of the beginning from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purposes will stand, and I will do all that I please. You see, God will accomplish his purpose. And in Psalm 33:11, we read it earlier, I want to read it again. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. We need to have a healthy fear of the Lord, because God will do what he says he will do. He will do what he wants to do, and no one will thwart his purposes. People may try, and people try all the time, but God will do what he says he will do. You guys are very lucky today, because Micah is at football camp this weekend, so he's not with us in church. But if he was, I was going to have him come here and do his football stance for you. But the next best thing is he sent me a picture. This is Micah doing what he does on the football field, number 76. I don't know if that'll be his number this year, his senior year. That's Micah in his mean-looking pose. If you're standing opposite him and you're looking into his eyes, this is the feel you're going to get. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Because here's a young man who's intent on getting past you and either stopping the run, stopping the pass, and it's going to take a lot to thwart his purposes, right? So on the football field, Mike is a mean beast. And he grows this beard out. I don't know why. He's only 17. But we've heard opposing players say to their coach, they've got an adult man on their team, you know, with his full beard and everything. On the field, he's a beast. And he's got one purpose in mind, and that's to stop the run, stop the pass, sack the quarterback. And he's actually pretty good at it. Now, here's the thing. If you know Micah, if you know him, you know his character, you know his heart, you know he's the sweetest, most tender young man. He's got a call to ministry. We're still trying to discern what that call is. But he loves God. And off the field, he's just the sweetest young man. But on the field, he's got a purpose. And it's going to take a lot to stop him from achieving his purpose. And I think that's a little bit like the Lord. The Lord has a purpose and the Lord has a plan. And if you get in his way, uh-oh, you better watch out. Because God will do what he wants to do. But if you know the character of God, you know the heart of God, you know he's very loving and tender and compassionate. And all that he does is for our good. I had a pastor's meeting on Tuesday. My pastor's work meetings are probably not too unlike your work meetings. You know, you're lucky if you don't fall asleep and, you know, a lot of it is blah, 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 blah. But this meeting was different. Because at this meeting, we met with a couple, wonderful, beautiful husband and wife missionary and their two kids. And I can't tell you what country they're in. We call it a creative access country because it's still dangerous. But I got to tell you, as I listened to the story of this missionary couple, an opportunity arose for them to go to a totally different country where the Church of the Nazarene does not have a presence. They didn't know the language very well. They only knew one person. This is a country where the government says, yes, we're friendly to churches, but they're not really friendly to churches. And I got to tell you, as I sat and I listened to story after story after story, I started tearing up. I got chills all over like I'm getting now. How God, the God who called them to go start this new work in this new country that our church is not there in, and to hear how God opened door after door after door, how God opened window after window after window, how God miraculously did this and did that and started warming the hearts of the people. I was in awe, sitting there thinking to myself, if God wants to start a new work in a country where we haven't been before, despite all the odds, God's going to start a work in that country. You see, God will accomplish his purposes. And I sat and I listened to this couple. I had a renewed sense of the awe and fear of God. Because nothing will thwart his purposes.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.